Every once in a while, I get a phone call from a place that picks up clothes that I don't want to wear anymore. This particular organization was Big Brother, Big Sister. I guess they're all overweight. I'm not sure about that. But they called me up and they said, "Did you have any clothes that you want to donate? We can send a truck over to your house." I said, "Yeah, I got some clothes I want to donate." And the truck came over, and what I did was I kind of gave away about 6 pairs of pants that were too big for me because I've lost a little bit of weight. Thank you very much for noticing. So in this bag, I've got some old T-shirts and about 6 pairs of pants. And it was sad. It's somehow sad because the truck pulled up, picked up the box full of clothes, put it in the truck, drove away. And for some reason, I just felt like sad to see my pants go and realizing that somewhere, somehow, there is a big brother or big sister walking around wearing my pants.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Talk about weird. People are walking around wearing my pants.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's right. That's what it is. It is what it is. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Hold your applause to the end of the program. It screws me up when you do that. I appreciate the applause. I really do. I really thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for the applause. Yeah, sounds like a Trump rally. God, help me. Please help me. If I see that man's face one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. His face is all over the place. I can't stand it anymore. Oh, man. Get me out of here. Somebody. Anyway, can't do much about that. So how you doing today, by the way? It's so rude of me not to ask how you are. Because the name of the show has got my name in it. And I talk about myself and all the stupid things that I do and the crazy things that I think, and you're invited into my world like some type of pathetic Jerry Springer show. It's a Jerry Springer show of the mind. And somehow I never turn it around. I never say, and how are you? And you know why I don't do that? Because I don't care. I don't really think you care how I am either. I think all you do is say, okay, I can come to this guy's podcast every weekday and I can listen to what goes on in his head and I find it mildly entertaining, or at the very least, the fact that thank God I'm not him and that he is my puppet boy and all the things that he goes through and thinks, I don't really have to deal with. Very similar to Trump in the sense that people connect with him. He says what they would want to say, but they can't say it. It's similar to that. Only I'm not Donald Trump. I'm not him. I'm sane, I believe. Anyway, see, I can't even... Not only is his face and picture and campaign signs all over, plastered all over my life, But I can't stop talking about him. Like I'm obsessed with him. Like I want to have sex with him someday. And believe me, I don't. I don't even know why his wife would. Can you imagine having sex with Donald Trump?
How was that for me? Did I enjoy that? How was that for me? I'm a winner. How was that for me? Did I reach orgasm? I don't care if you did. Did I reach it? Did I reach it? You bet. I'm a winner. I never lose.
Just shut up. Shut up. Oh, if he ever became president, I'd have to start drinking heavily.
Or continue drinking heavily, I should say.
I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. So why'd you bring this up? Why do you have to bring that up every time I do a show? Stop it. Cut it out. Man.
I hate being consumed by things.
I get 3 calls a day in my house from an automated robot. And it's usually a woman because it is. But it's an animated woman's automated voice. It's not a real person. I can tell the difference. You know how you can tell if it's a robocall? They call them robocalls. You know, I can tell the difference because you pick up the phone, you go, hello, and you hear nothing for 45 minutes. What seems like 45 minutes, you hear nothing for like 3 seconds. Then all of a sudden, you hear, there's no problem with your credit card. If you have credit cards, and you may be paying too much. And it's like, hey, shut up. I didn't ask you to call me. And now I'm starting to get and I just hang up on them right away because you can't, how do you deal with a robot? How do you deal with, unless the damn thing's a Roomba and it's cleaning my carpets by itself. And by the way, that shit don't work. I don't have a Roomba vacuum cleaner. Those are those little things that look like little flying saucer discs, and they're motorized and they just wander around your carpet. Like an amnesia patient, and it just wanders around your carpet, drives the animals crazy, the cats and the dogs, they hate this thing, and it just randomly cleans your carpet. And it's like, why do I want something to randomly clean my carpet? And in the commercials, I mean, the carpet looks like it's been vacuumed perfectly. How do you vacuum perfectly when this thing randomly just bumps into walls and it's just what is going on here? I don't know anybody who has that thing at all. In the television commercials, it looks like everybody's got one of these Roomba vacuum things. I've never met anybody who had one. And if they did, they probably don't talk about it. It's probably in the garbage somewhere. This thing's like $300. I just got news for you. They make vacuum cleaners now, and you plug them in, and they suck up the dirt. Well, at least for the first, like, 5-6 times after that. Do you ever have a vacuum cleaner that actually worked? Vacuum cleaners are like people. They seem to work at first. You get along with them really fine at first, and after a few runs around the carpet, it ain't so hot anymore. Yeah, it's like a relationship. You got it. It's true. There's nothing more exciting than buying a new vacuum cleaner. Ooh, I'm going to have clean rugs. Ooh. And you get home and you plug it in, and the first time you use your brand new vacuum cleaner, your balls are falling off. This is like, whoa, this is incredible. This thing's sucking everything up. Look how clean my carpet is. It didn't miss a thing. It sucked up everything. And look at my carpet. It's like it's brand new. And then the second time you use the vacuum cleaner, whoa, wow, this is the most incredible purchase I've ever made. This was the best purchase I've ever made in my life. This vacuum cleaner is so awesome. I am going to have clean rugs until the day I die. And then the third time you use a vacuum cleaner, can't seem to get up that little piece of lint there. Up, oh, there it is, got it up now. I just have to run over it like 3-4 times. And then it sucked it up after that. 3 or 4, that's fine. I'll probably just have to empty the vacuumless bag, the vacuum cleaner. No bag. You just empty it. I'll empty it. Oh, there we go. It's empty. Now it's going to work perfectly next time. Ah, this vacuum cleaner is fantastic. Fantastic. 4th time you use it, this damn vacuum cleaner ain't picking up. And I just emptied it yesterday. It's nice and clean, but it's not picking anything up. Six tries later, you're already buying a new vacuum. It is the most deceiving piece of equipment ever made. And on the television commercials, I can't believe it. This is fantastic. I can pick up dirt from my ass. It's unbelievable. Not true. Yeah, maybe the first time. They should have a disclaimer on the bottom of the screen. Vacuum cleaner works great 3 or 4 times. After that, it's a piece of shit. I never pay more than $50 for a vacuum because I'm going to be throwing it out after about 5, 6 uses. That or you just hire somebody to come over to your house. You know, you don't have to be rich, baby. You don't have to be rich to have somebody come over and clean your house. And I want to tell you something, too. As horrible as this sounds for me to say it, it's true. There's just a great feeling about having someone, some stranger, come over to your house and clean it and then leave. There's something so rewarding about that. It's like getting a new vacuum cleaner every time you clean your house. And you don't have to have them there every day. You can keep up the little stuff. But when you want to really clean the house, call somebody in. A couple of $100, maybe not even. Get it done. Best money you'll ever spend. I don't know. Unless you're really poor, then you don't give a shit anyway. So what's the difference? You'll work it out. I have confidence. You'll work it out.
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
Okay, let's do this. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. If you don't know who I am, that's who I am. I do this every single weekday, Monday through Friday. Those are called weekdays. New show every weekday. Myself, some other people as well. Tori Lagarde, other people do shows here too. We're all kind of crazy people. It works. Works somehow. You can find us right here on the site that you're on. Where I don't know how you hooked up with us. It could be on Podbean. It could be on our site, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, MetroSouthPodcasting.com, RonVanDam.com. Could be on any one of those. It could be on iTunes, or it could be on TuneIn Radio, or many of the other outlets on your internet highway of information and education and entertainment. One way or the other, you found us. Bookmark me. Put a bookmark on my forehead, please. If you will be so kind to do so. You know, you may be wearing my pants. I know. I know. I know. This really happened, and I am not in any way going crazy, I don't believe, but here is, this actually happened to me a couple of days ago.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
I don't know if this has happened to you or not, but I don't care. And chances are, if you're a guy, it probably did happen to you at one point in your life. If you were a girl, maybe not. And the story is coming up right after the stupid music. That's pretty lame. All right, here's what happened, and it's absolutely true. I get up one day, and I put on my clothes, including my pants, which is included in my clothes, and I go out. First thing I do is I go to the supermarket down the street from me. It's about 2 minutes away, and I pick up some dog food for my dogs. Not for me, for my dogs. I don't eat dog food anymore. I've learned that human food is a bit more tastier. So I buy the dog food, put it in the car, continue to move around. I go to a Lowe's, which is a home and garden place, a hardware store, one of those super hardware stores like a Home Depot, if you're not familiar with it. And I go in there and I buy something. I don't remember what I bought, okay, but I bought something in there. And then I continued and I went to a very nice restaurant where I had myself a salad for lunch. I was out for about 3-4 hours doing some shopping, running some errands, things like that. I even went to Walgreens, America's pharmacy, Pharmacia, and I picked up my prescriptions. Nothing really heavy, it's not your business, but I picked up my prescriptions and stuff, you know, keep my blood pressure in check, keep my cholesterol in check, that kind of thing. And it's doing fine, thank you for asking. And then I go home, and man, do I have to pee. I've been out for 3-4 hours, and I have to release the liquids, and I go up to the bathroom on my second floor of my abode, and I go to put my pants down in order to do my pee-pee, is what they call it. And I go for my zipper, and I find that my zipper is already down. What? Yes. I go for my zipper to do my pee-pee, and I find that my zipper is already down. You can imagine my reaction. It was extreme. How long has my zipper been down? Quite obviously, all day. Because unless I had occasion to unzip my pants at any point during that 3-hour errand period of time, then my zipper, by deduction, has been down all day. Now, what's the first thing a man does when he realizes he's been walking around for half the day with his zipper down? The first thing you do is to check to see what color underpants are you wearing. My God, if you're wearing white underpants, this was obvious to everybody all day. No wonder why nobody looked me in the eyes when I was talking to them, which they usually don't do anyway, so it's hard to tell the reason. But thankfully, I was wearing black underpants. Whoosh! That was close. And I immediately retraced in my head every single place that I had been and every single person that I had run into. And oh my God, they saw me with my zipper down. You know, and then in retrospect, I love that word, retrospect. It just sounds so cool. In retrospect, what difference does it make? No one's going to see Mr. Johnson because I'm wearing underpants, especially black ones. You can't see through that. So no one's seeing anything. It's just damn embarrassing. It just makes me look like I am so goofy and disorganized. I don't even know how to continue to wear my pants. Oh, I can put them on. I can put my legs in the pant legs, in the pant part. But for some reason, and I can buckle it up at the top there and you know, but I, for some reason, I stopped short of the zipper. I don't have the intelligence to follow the entire pants experience through to its demise. Did that ever happen to you? No?
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water,
Aquamira,
contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Welcome back to the program. My name is Ronaldo Van Damme. That's my stage name when I used to do illusions in Vegas. I never wanted to go to Vegas. A lot of people say that they love Las Vegas. I don't care for Las Vegas. Never been there. Never want to go there because I just don't want to be propositioned by females all day, and that's what happens. You walk down the street. Hey, you want to go to bed with me for $10? No. I'd rather have a drink at a bar for $10 than go to bed with you for $10, especially since you're probably overrun with lice and various types of diseases. So the answer is no. And I believe it's illegal. And if, you know, through the whole exciting, wonderful experience of having sex with you, I'm constantly keeping one eye on the door, wondering when the cops and the feds are going to break in and arrest me and just look at you and say, "Hi, Mary, how's it going?" No, I'm not into that. Thank you very much. No Vegas for me. And I don't need to take all my hard-earned money, and you know how hard I earn it, to a place to throw it on a table and go, $50 on number 7. And I don't even know how that works. I'm assuming that's what you say. I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll go to a place and the bartender will talk me into playing keno, because in every place that you go have a drink, you can gamble as well, which is absolutely absurd. I'm very much against gambling because, again, I work very hard for my money, and I work hard for the money, and I just don't want to say, here, I worked very hard, here it is for you. I don't, you know, it's here it is for me, not for you. I just give you money like that for. It's ridiculous. So I don't gamble. And every time you do gamble, there's a sign somewhere, especially on those keno screens, you know, because they're state-run lotteries. It says, if you have a gambling problem, please contact us. I see. So contact us if you have a gambling problem, and also contact us if you want to gamble. It's just like, what are you talking about? What are you you're telling me, be careful, this can screw you up. Here's the phone number where I can screw you up. I mean, it's just like, you're the problem. You're the problem. The problem is telling me what the solution is to the problem that you're causing, that you're enabling. It's just so absurd. It's so absurd that it's funny. It's even funny. Anyway, this is fascinating to me. We're going to speak to Jim Stone. We're going to take politics and see how they affect economics And you may say, Ron, that sounds kind of lame. It is not lame. It is very, very interesting. I'm telling you. Let's get into this. You'll be fascinated by this conversation. James M. Stone is the founder, chairman, and chief executive of the Plymouth Rock Group of Companies, former Massachusetts Insurance Commissioner, former chairman and commissioner of the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and he invented the airplane, too, I believe. What didn't you do, James? Okay.
I did not invent the airplane or the internet.
Okay. Oh, you're the only one that hasn't so far that I've met. Okay. We're talking about the economy and how we're dealing with this in relation to just about everything. What have you found?
Well, there are big problems for the United States. We're not a nation in decline, but we do have some big problems that politicians don't like to talk about. The alternative title for my book, I chose Five Easy Theses, but the alternative title was going to be Too Big to Touch, because these are issues that just don't come out in a campaign.
Yeah.
So I picked five of them.
Well, that's good. That's a clever title, Five Easy Theses, ladies and gentlemen. It's thesis. And, it's a fascinating book, and I guess we really don't talk about that, but to people that have some money or want some money, this is like paramount.
Well, it's not really a book that will help an individual manage his wealth, but it will help you think about the public policy issues that will determine whether your life or your children's life or your grandchildren's life is going to be economically viable.
Yeah. And I guess the problem with all of this is nobody really knows unless you dig deep. Is it a path of history that helps us understand where we may be going?
Yes, history always helps. Mm-hmm. But my argument is that these are five big issues that have logical solutions. Oh. If you understand a little history, a little economics, but mainly common sense, you can figure out the solution. What you can't figure out so easily, and I don't claim to provide, is a political path in today's environment to get there.
Yeah.
That's a whole different matter.
It is a different matter.
Politics,
go on.
Politics pretty messy today.
So I see. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we can divide people's concerns into basically two categories, if you're really going to simplify it. One is international relations and our safety accordingly, and the other is domestically our economy. I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
So I don't deal at all with foreign policy.
Yes.
This is all about the economy. It's about whether the budget is properly in or out of balance. It's about whether income and wealth are distributed equally enough, which they're not. It's about whether our educational system is working, whether our healthcare system is working and efficient, and about Wall Street, where excesses really need to be curbed.
But education doesn't work efficiently unless there's money to back it. It all comes down to that for every concern in every category, doesn't it?
Well, in a way, but there'd be plenty of money, for example, at the federal level, if we didn't stop wasting so much money on tax expenditures, tax giveaways, deductions that shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money to be saved in the healthcare system. So there's plenty of money to be saved as well as some money to be spent.
And I guess the stumbling block to all of what you're talking about is politics.
Well, yes, and it's understandable that politicians need issues that could be turned into sound bites, issues that have quick fixes. These are not those issues.
Right.
These are issues that take analysis, that take careful thought, and some courage. I fear the public is going to have to guide the politicians and not vice versa on these issues.
I mean, even Donald Trump, may I say his name publicly, who claims that he is his own man and he doesn't care about what anybody thinks, he'll just say what he thinks. Even he goes through a process in his brain. How am I going to make these people vote for me? I can see it when he's doing his rallies. He caters to every group that he talks to, although he says that he doesn't. So indeed, he's a politician as well, I assume.
Well, anybody running for office has to do that. A politician wants to lead a parade.
Yeah.
But this parade is one the public is going to have to organize.
Yeah.
And when the public does, the politicians will jump in front of it and claim to be leading it. I don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But people have to understand these issues, and then I think we can get solutions. And they need to be solved.
Yeah.
All of them are issues that have to be confronted.
Yeah. But they never are. They're talked about during elections, but they are such gigantic boulders of what we've had for such a long time that it's so hard and almost impossible to change them. For example, you talk about the tax codes, and I mean, that's been talked about every time in every election, but then when the election's over, it's never looked at again.
Well, the problem's actually even worse than what you just described.
Oh, great.
Because you didn't mention campaign contributions. A lot of these issues don't get fixed because the money is on one side.
Correct.
And the public interest is on the other.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the money wins.
Yeah.
When the public is well-educated, which I think has got to happen on these issues, then the public can win. But it's like, you know, you got to wake the sleeping dragon first.
I know, James, but I don't know how smart most people really are. I think that they're starstruck. They think on the surface. They don't check facts. I don't know how smart the rest of the. I mean, I think there's two people in this country: those that think something through, and those that just live on the surface. And I think that's a problem.
It is a problem, but democracy's done a pretty good job over the history of our country of eventually grappling with the issues.
Yeah.
For example, we're going to have to deal with Social Security.
Right.
People know that, and at some point we've got to figure out how Social Security can pay for everything it promises.
Yeah.
And it'll happen. It just won't happen in 2016. It's not going to happen right away.
No,
but we'll get there, and I'm trying to lay a little groundwork for finding the common sense, logical answers that we're going to have to get to.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, you know business with your background, certainly, and you know that in business you have a business plan, and you plan for the future, and you set your goals by various steps. That's what a businessman does. But this country doesn't do that. It puts out fires that are already burning, as opposed to preventing the fire from occurring at all.
Well, that's exactly right. And so what I'm trying to do in this book is to say, if you're ready to start thinking beyond the immediate fire, beyond the immediate necessity, here's what you should be thinking about, because ultimately this is where we need to go. This is how you stop the country from being in decline. Yeah. This is still an innovative country. This is still a country that can lead in the world. But we've got to deal with these hard issues.
Yeah. Well, the book is called Five Easy Theses. I could probably talk to you for a couple hours about this and still scratch the surface. So get the book and get involved in this, because what you're talking about is becoming very topical right now, especially with what's going on with the elections. And people should look at all sides of all these issues. As far as this is concerned, as far as the economy is concerned. Great book, Five Easy Theses, available everywhere, I assume.
Yes, yes. Just went on sale this week.
Perfect. And is there a website where we can follow you and follow the goings-on of the books?
The book? Yeah, we put together, I think, a pretty good website. It's been fun to do it. It's www.5easytheses.com.
Perfect. And again, it's theses, T-H-E-S-E-S. It's not feces.
That's right.
Not feces and not pieces. It's theses.
Right.
Yeah. Now no one's going to forget the title of the book now.
Hey, well, I did love that movie.
Yes.
I did love Five Easy Pieces.
That falls into place. Hey, James, fun speaking to you, and thanks for writing the book, and great success to you.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cool. This has been a perfect day that we spent together, huh? Isn't this a wonderful day? Just you and me and Jim Stone. Man, what could be nicer?
Just a perfect day.
It was, wasn't it?
Drink sangria in the park.
Yeah, it was great.
And then later, when it gets dark, we go home.
That's the best part. I love that part.
Just a perfect day.
It really was.
Feed animals in the zoo.
It's so much fun.
Then later, a movie too, and then home.
Home, that's what I love, that part.
Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep. Just a perfect day.
Oh, it really was.
Problems all left alone.
Now we talked about it, yeah.
Weekenders on our own. It's such fun.
So much fun.
Just a perfect day.
Oh, yeah, it was.
You made me forget myself.
I forgot myself.
I thought I was someone else, someone good.
Yeah, really, that was fun.
Oh, it's such a perfect day.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm glad I spent it with you.
Oh, thank you, yes.
Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep me hanging on. You're going to read just what you saw. To read just what you saw. You're going to read just what you saw. You're going to read just what you saw.
Lou Reed, he's left this planet, unfortunately, and but he was quite a creative musician, songwriter, etc. Well, it's true. It has been a perfect day because I've spent it with you. So this is like a Lifetime movie, isn't it? It is. You know, we share a special bond, you and I. I don't know who you are. And even though I've never met you, probably, I don't know who you are, probably, you don't know me, you don't know me. And yet, two complete strangers who have never met, never discussed anything in great detail, don't know anything about our personal likes, dislikes, our fantasies, our fetishes, the fact that you like chocolate sauce rubbed all over your thighs, that never comes up with us. But there is a bond somehow through this internet facility that we call the superhighway of informational networking. And that makes it very special. We don't have to be Facebook friends. Ugh. although we could be. You could go to my Facebook page, and it's fantastic. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. I'll repeat that for the hard of hearing. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. That's the Facebook page. And just click that you like me, because I can't live without you liking me. You don't have to love me. You don't even have to touch me. As a matter of fact, I prefer that you don't. I prefer that. All you need do is just like me. That's all I'm looking for. All the riches of the earth mean nothing compared to you just clicking a mouse and saying that you like me. The mouse can even be wireless. That's how disconnected you can be from this activity. It can be wireless. Bluetooth. I don't know what that is. My dentist said if I didn't be careful, my gums would start bleeding and my teeth would start turning blue. And I said to myself, oh, technologically Bluetooth? That's awesome. He said, no, you don't understand. You just don't understand. I'm going to say goodbye at this point because this can't go on forever and really shouldn't. And I think you have better things to do. I'm assuming, I'm hoping. I'll be with you again tomorrow, but no touching.